fresh manna fell to the ground as a gift from God while the Israelites were in the wilderness. This is what they ate for 40 years. It was fresh from the ovens of heaven, baked by the master baker himself. How the Israelites must have anticipated the taste and the smell of each morning's delivery. Just like the Israelites, you too can now experience the taste and the smell of fresh manna. Today, you will be listening to Farai Niwatiwa, pastor of the Grand Rapids Bethel Seventh-day Adventist Church. And now, here's Pastor Farai.
Our message today is entitled Bamboozled. And before we go into God's word, let us bow our heads for a word of prayer. Eternal Father in heaven, we just want to acknowledge you as our God and as our creator. We thank you for Jesus Christ and for his blood that was shed for us on the cross of Calvary. We thank you for your Holy Spirit who superintended the writing of your word. And Lord, we invite his presence that he may interpret the message into the hearts of your people, so that when we leave here, we may feel that you have spoken to us in a very personal way. Thank you, Lord, for granting me this opportunity to share this word. Hide me behind the cross of Calvary. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. In Jesus' name, we do pray. Amen. On July 9th and 10th in 1943, it was at the height of World War II when the Allied forces invaded Sicily in what was called Operation Husky. This was an operation that would begin the final pushing back of the German forces that had occupied a good part of the European territory. However, the success of invasion, Operation Husky, was predicated on another operation which may not be known as much, and this was called Operation Mince Meat. In this operation, the British intelligence had come up with a great plan, and that plan was one in which they went to the morgue and found the body of someone who had died. In fact, they used pathologists to make sure that this corpse that they would use was one which would not show, you know, through autopsy, would not show that, you know, what the cause of death was as readily. And so they found the body of Glenda Michael in a Britain morgue, and they dressed him up with military uniform. They even gave him the rank of a major, and they named him Major William Martin. They made sure that they put on him information, because a major was one who could be able to carry information, you know, very sensitive information between different forces. And so they propped him up. They put on him information that would be a decoy, information that would trick the Germans. They made sure that his profile was just right. They ticked all their boxes. They crossed all their I's. They made sure that he had a fiance whose name was Pam, and he had in his wallet a picture of Pam. Not only that, he had on his person certain things that would cause his profile to not bring suspicion. He had bus tickets. He had tickets for a theater. He had a letter from a bank that was asking him to pay back a loan. There was even a letter that he was going to send to his father. They made sure that he fit the profile. And so they threw him into the sea and he floated onto the shore of one of the villages near Sicily on April 30, 1943. And immediately his body was taken and it was taken to the German forces, who immediately looked at it. And of course, they must have been suspicious, but everything was checking out and they fell for it. You see, on the person of this corpse were plans that were made where they were going to attack another city. And so the Germans diverted their forces from Sicily and they made sure that those places that had been named were guarded. And so when Operation Husky took place on July 9 and 10, 1943, they found Sicily not as guarded as it should have been because the decoy had worked. In fact, we are told that when they were sure that the Germans had been duped, at that time Churchill was visiting in the USA, and the message that he received was mincemeat swallowed whole. And so we find here that the Germans were duped. They were scammed. They were hoodwinked. They were bamboozled. Don't we identify with that? Each one of us, perhaps at one time or another, has been tricked. We know of people who have paid money to lovers just based on an internet profile. Thousands and thousands of dollars are given away because the emotions had taken a hold of them, and without being able to verify who it is they were talking to, gave away money, and in some instances only to discover that who they were paying for and who it was that was actually receiving the money were two different people. We all have received those calls where from the IRS telling us that we owe them some money and that the police are on the way, and if we do not submit our bank information, we will be prosecuted. There are people out there who are always trying to scam us one way or another. Come with me today as we go into God's word and find another story where they tried to scam. And in fact, they did. They successfully scammed the children of Israel. Come with me to the book of Joshua, Joshua chapter 9. Joshua chapter 9. And I will start reading here. Now, when all the kings west of the Jordan heard about these things, and the question is, which things? You see, if you remember, the last time the children of Israel had crossed over the Jordan on dry land, and soon after that, they were able to conquer Jericho in chapter 6. In chapter 7, we discovered that because of Achan's sin, they tried to attack the city of Ai, and they looked at the city and they said, well, we don't need to send too many people. And when they sent a number of fighters to go and fight them, Israel was routed, and they finally discovered that they were seen in the camp because Achan had taken some of the loot which was supposed to have been devoted to the Lord. Finally, they went up again against Ai, and Ai was delivered in the hands of the children of Israel. And so after they heard all these things, we are told here that the kings in the hill country, in the western foothills, and along the entire coast of the Mediterranean Sea, as far as Lebanon, the kings of the Hittites, the Amorites, the Canaanites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites, they came together to wage war against Joshua and Israel. Now, if you just go back one paragraph before Joshua chapter 9, we find that the children of Israel had come to Mount Ebal and they had renewed their covenant with God. They had consecrated themselves to God. They were having church. They were worshiping God. And I want to declare to each one of us that whenever we come in worship of God, and in fact, whenever God begins the work of bringing to pass conquests in our lives, just as the children of Israel were beginning to conquer the territory that had been promised to them by God. Mark my words, the forces of hell will be arrayed against you. Coalitions that would never be will form to fight against your intentions, your desire to do that which God is calling you to do. And so we find here that the children of Israel, as they begin to conquer, the coalition forms up where an army gets ready to fight against them. But then it doesn't just end there. And so I just want us to know, the first point that I want us to know is that whenever we submit ourselves to God, whenever we choose to worship God, Satan is going to attack. And sometimes his attacks are obvious. His attacks are simply with brute force. Sometimes he will form coalitions that will come up against us, just as these kings came up against Israel because they felt threatened by what God was doing with and through them. And doesn't the Bible tell us in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, that the devil comes at us like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour? And sometimes the devil will come at us that way, in a very blatant and in-your-face kind of way, where he will set up coalitions where people who were never friends find in what you are doing a common enemy. And so the word of God here tells us that these armies, these kings came together to wage war against Joshua. But then we come to verse 3, it says, that which then presents to us another form in which the devil comes at us. However, when the people of Gibeon heard what Joshua had done to Jericho and Ai, they resorted to a ruse. That's what the NIV here says. They went as a delegation whose donkeys were loaded with worn-out sacks and old wineskins, cracked and mended. They put on worn and parched sandals on their feet, and they wore old clothes, and all of their bread, their food, and their supply was dry, and it was moldy. So they approached the children of Israel and said, "We have come from a distant land. Please make a treaty with us." But the Israelites, I think they started to smell something here. And so they asked them, "Perhaps you live near us. How can we make a treaty with you?" But they replied, "We are your servants." But Joshua asked them pointedly, "Who are you and where do you come from?" And they answered, "Your servants have come from a very distant country because of the fame of your God, for we have heard reports of him, all that he did in Egypt and all that he did to the two kings of the Amorites east of the Jordan, Sihon, king of Heshbon, and Og, king of Bashan, who reigned in Ashtoreth. and our elders and all those living in our country say to us, take provisions of your journey and go and meet them and say to them, we are your servants. Make a treaty with us. Oh man, these guys had it together. They had everything in place. Their profile was complete. Moldy bread. Worn out clothes. Their wineskins were showed signs of distress. And we must give it to the children of Israel. I mean, they did try. They asked questions. They inquired. They did some diligence, if you will. But these guys were good. They were good. And so they say, okay, we are your servants. Verse 12, this bread of ours was warm when we packed it at home on the day that we left to come to you. But now see how dry and moldy it is. These wineskins that we filled were new, but see how cracked they are. And our clothes and sandals are worn out by the very long journey. Verse 14, the Israelites sampled their provisions. Oh, I want you to picture this in your mind's eye. Can you see them tasting a bit of that dry and almost moldy bread? Can you see them smelling it and, you know, giving it the smell test? Can you see them observing with a very close eye to observing to make sure that their senses were taking in everything that they were seeing and experiencing? They did due diligence. But they were tricked. They used their senses. But they were tricked. They crossed their T's, they dotted their I's, they checked every box. But they were still bamboozled. The Bible tells us that 3 days later, they came to the city of Gibeon. And they were getting ready to conquer, but soon discovered that these were the very same people with whom they had made a treaty and a covenant with, because they had tricked them. Not only that, we discover as you go into chapter 10, that when the other kings heard that the Gibeonites had tricked the children of Israel and formed a treaty, a covenant, and an alliance with them, they decided that they were going to attack the Gibeonites. And so the Gibeonites sent word to Joshua to say, we are your servants, come and help us. Oh, I'm saying this to say that sometimes we find ourselves having to fight things, having to do things that we were never meant to do simply because we have been tricked. Verse 14 of chapter 9 is the key to us seeing the danger and where the children of Israel missed a step. The Bible tells us the Israelites sampled the provisions of the Gibeonites, but they did not inquire of the Lord. You see, church, sometimes we find ourselves simply using common sense. Sometimes everything seems to check out. Sometimes we have even done the feasibility studies, but I want to put it to you that unless we inquire of the Lord, we are in danger of being hoodwinked, of being bamboozled, of being scammed by the evil one, because sometimes there are things that only God can reveal. How many of us have entered into relationships where he fit the profile, comes to church? Yes. Seems decent? Yes. But you have not inquired of the Lord. Many of us do not spend enough time in prayer. And I want to say to you, my young people, inquire of the Lord. I've had many people come to me when the wedding date has already been set. And at that point, even if you do counseling, your mind is so set and you won't go back because you are in too far. Start the prayer before the choice. How many of us have made purchases that we did not inquire of the Lord? Everything seemed to be right. All the boxes were checked. All the I's were dotted. All the T's were crossed. Only to find out that it was not the right thing for you. Why? Because you did not inquire of the Lord. Oh, I want you to know that the devil is a wily devil who plots our demise, who wants to trick us and bamboozle us so that we enter into treaties, we enter into covenants that we are not supposed to enter into. But thanks be to God, our God is a God who is bigger than our mistakes. Even though the children of Israel had not inquired of the Lord, yet God had a way of salvaging the situation, because partly also because the children of Israel were men of their word. Even though they had been tricked by the Gibeonites, when they found out that they were tricked because they had made a covenant and a treaty with them, they stood by what they had said, and they did not destroy the Gibeonites. Sometimes we have to live with our issues. Sometimes we are going to have to engage in fights that we were never destined to fight, because we have not inquired of the Lord when we made the decision. Life can be tricky. We cannot simply use our senses to make decisions, because sometimes things will check out on a physical level. There are certain things that only God can reveal to us. And many times we find ourselves in trouble because we have not inquired of the Lord. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 5 and 6 tells us, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. What is the antidote against the three forces that we are up against: the flesh, the world, and the devil. Remember that any of these forces can come in one way or another. Sometimes when the devil comes at us, he is all up in our face. And I want to say, you know, sometimes that is a better attack to deal with, because you see it, you feel his force, you feel his wrath, and that allows us to go to the Lord for help because we feel inadequate. The biggest challenge that we face is when we feel strong, when we feel we have done due diligence, when we simply use our common sense. The devil sometimes is able to trick us because we have not inquired of the Lord. Oh, I want to say to you, my brothers and my sisters, may it be that you and I inquire of the Lord whenever we have a major decision, even when we have smaller decisions. Take time to say, hey, I have done my due diligence, but I want to know if it's okay with God. I want to run it by God's desk to find out if he is okay with it. And sometimes you will discover that God will reveal certain things that you would not otherwise know about the decision that you are about to make, which will save you from trouble. May God help us to learn from the story of the Gibeonites and the Israelites' interaction with them, how they successfully tricked them. And let us remember that the devil comes at us in that way, and he is most lethal when he tricks us in that way, because we feel strong, we feel we have done what we need to do, and at that moment, we are most vulnerable. Inquire of the Lord. Ask of the Lord, is this the relationship you want me to be in? Is this the house you want me to buy? Is this the university that I should go to? Ask of the Lord. And he will tell you, he will show you things that you would not otherwise know. Let us pray. Eternal Father in heaven, we are most vulnerable when we feel strong. We are most vulnerable sometimes when we simply rely on common sense and nothing else. You are calling us to be spiritual and not carnal. You are calling on us to inquire of you, because there are certain things that we would never know unless you reveal them to us. Bless us this morning to make a decision that from now going forward, Lord, we will run things by your desk. And for those, Lord, that have already been scammed and bamboozled by the evil one, may you remind us that you are even able to salvage the situation, for you are bigger than any mistake that we can make. Yes, we may need to live with our decision, but you are able to redeem us even in that situation. Thank you, Lord, for blessing us today. May we receive your word with gladness. And ultimately, Lord, save us in your kingdom. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen.
You have been listening to Farai Niwatiwa, pastor of the Grand Rapids Bethel Seventh-day Adventist Church. If you enjoyed this sermon, why not visit his church this coming Sabbath or a church near you listed on strongtowerradio.org. You will find the Grand Rapids Bethel Seventh-day Adventist Church at 1024 Adams Street Southeast, Grand Rapids, Michigan, and their church service begins at 11 a.m. Access their website at www.bethelgr.com, and the phone number is 616-243-3182. This program is a Strong Tower Radio production.